Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 405. As this week, we bring you the second hour of WCW Slamboree 1997. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1997, and watch the biggest feud since Edge versus Finn Balor as blood runs cold?
Absolutely. Blood runs cold, baby. It's been 25 years since blood ran cold.
We've just been waiting for this.
We've just been waiting for it. And by the way, since you brought it up, they put that group with Edge together, like, what, 3 weeks ago or something?
They did.
This is just so typical of the way they do stuff now. There's nothing ever has time to shape up.
But it was a big surprise.
Yeah. Well, that's what matters, right? It's all about surprises as opposed to...
I guess.
Edge is not, at this point in his career, shouldn't be a heel anyway.
Well, I think somebody figured that out. So.
Yeah, but he chopped off his hair, so he looks like, you know, Dad Next Door again. Yeah. They're just not thinking stuff. Whatever. It's their money. Yeah. They make more of it than I do.
That's true. Not our problem, though.
Yeah.
I hope Cody Rhodes gets better.
Oh my! I see. I didn't even know. I haven't been following. I turned it on the other night for about 2 minutes and saw his chest. I said, "Well, he tore a pec."
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, I was gonna give that. There's such a distinct look. I mean, but I didn't know if it was an angle or not because I haven't been following it the last several weeks.
No, he really did tear his pec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be out of spell.
Yeah, he is. He just wanted to get that last one in there. And that's a debate for another time, I think. All right, so
it couldn't be any worse for the guy. I mean, he's hot right now. I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, it's bad timing, but he's hopefully he'll come back. He'll come rolling back around when it's time for the Rumble and time for WrestleMania and all that.
Well, geez, I mean, unfortunately, I think the timetable for him, the time was now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you weren't expecting, you know, when you hear that. Well, I mean, when I heard that Cody was signing with WWE, I didn't expect that they'd like be building pay-per-views around him. But, you know,
well, I mean, they have to build him around somebody.
That's true. You do.
He's a good talent. He's hotter. He's hotter now than he's ever been. It's one of the few times in the last couple of years that the decision-making process when they were signing talent was that let's try to strike while the iron's hot.
And I goof on Seth Rollins a bit, but he's a tremendous talent. I mean,
he's great. He's great. Yeah. He's a great worker, and I think that they handled that right because all their high profile matches, Cody won them all.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what they needed to do. But what I was thinking, although sooner or later it'll have Seth win one, and that will cool off.
Right. And
You could make the decision that you could make the case that with the injury and everything, they could have had Seth win this one.
Could have made that case, yes.
Yeah, like, you know, he's not going to be around, and it puts a little steam on something coming back long term because Rollins would be there. He ain't going anywhere.
That's true. All right. First of all, I would like to, podcast rankings, I'd like to thank the good people of Canada. We're back in their good graces as we bumped up to the number 130 wrestling podcast in Canada, which, given that there are like 100,000 wrestling podcasts, that's pretty good, I'd say. So thank you, Canada. I'm glad you're enjoying these shows. I'm glad you're enjoying Regal and Ultimo Dragon last week. That was good. I like that.
Yeah.
Also,
thanks a
lot, eh? Yep. Also, patreon.com/waybackplayback. You get in. We've got bonus episodes on top of bonus episodes, and we're going to be finishing up another one after we do this. So, it's a good time to jump on, get some Mid-South, All Japan. What else do we do recently? PWF Florida.
Yeah, we've done so much of a wide variety of things, and you know, that to me is the whole bonus tier, the Black Scorpion, the Patron, and all that kind of stuff. You really want to dig down deep, into the Wayback Playback playbook. You're going to get it there. When we're talking, we're watching television programs of just small organizations or territories that were barely hanging on, or in some cases when they were hotter than ever, and get some of the insights of such as they may be of a couple of old, you know, a couple of
old fogies
who've been on the periphery of the business and, or on the small levels of promoted it, you know, for years and years. I think, you know, not to toot our own horn here, but I think we bring some interesting insights.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to think so.
I think we bring some interesting insights because we've kind of lived it to a certain degree. I mean, I'm not, we're not claiming that we were Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan or anything.
No, I'm definitely not claiming to be Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, we didn't. We come from a position of,
although I do dye my hair.
We had to be more resourceful. We didn't have the money.
That's true. All right. Now, before we get on to that, let me see here. This is the time where we go back and look at the way things were. In this case, May 18th, 1997, 25 years ago. All right, Shane, the your New York Times bestsellers in fiction, it was Pretend You Don't See Her by Mary Higgins Clark in its third week at number one. Nonfiction, Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt, back at number one after dropping to number two. And I've read neither of those books, which is...
Yeah. Every time I hear Mary Higgins Clark, I always think of Mary Chapin Carpenter, who's a country singer. But
I'm familiar with her, yes.
Yes.
Okay, now the number one Billboard song on the U.S. charts for its third week at number one, Hypnotized by the notorious B.I.G., who had passed away just a couple months prior. So let's see.
I still don't know that song. So
You've probably heard it before, but you recognize it. The hook he used is from one of my favorite artists, Herb Alpert, from his 1979 chart topper Rise, the Herb Alpert, the trumpet player. So anyway, if I played it for you, you'd probably at least somewhat recognize it.
Yeah, I'm,
you'd probably say, hey, that car that was up to the stoplight that was blaring its stereo. That's what that was.
Yeah. Oh, I know that now. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. Don't worry. This is getting better. Top movie in the country. In its first week at number one, The Fifth Element, starring Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, and, of course, Tiny Lister.
See, I was thinking it was G.I. Jane.
No, it wasn't. It was... I think that's about the time frame, but yeah, this is a really strange movie. Okay, the top news story. Of course, on a Sunday, everybody is concerned about the big coup in Zaire as dictator Joseph Mobutu, ousted by rebel leader Laurent Kabila and his troops. Except Mobutu wasn't there during the coup because he was already in Switzerland. He wasn't there to escape. No, he was there because he was treated for advanced stages of prostate cancer. He died 4 months later.
I do vaguely remember this. They took over a country for a guy who they couldn't take the country from because he wasn't in the country. Certainly sound like he packed up and rolled there, doesn't it? He's like, I'm going to get me. I'm out.
No kidding. Zaire has since been renamed the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Shane, I can tie this back to wrestling. Do you know the name of the capital city of Congo or Zaire?
Oh God, Rwanda?
No, that's a different country. It's the city where Ali fought Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle.
That's what I thought. That was Rwanda, Zaire. Ali Bumbaye.
Yes. The name of the town is Kinshasa.
Kinshasa, Zaire.
Yes. Now when Nakamura came into WWE and they found his finishing move was Bamaye, which means it's basically the African equivalent of Joe. You know, Joe is going to kill you. So they decided that was too that was too aggressive for what they were looking for. So they came up. So they substituted the name of the town where Bamaye came from, Kinshasa.
Nice. Impressive background work there. Taking notes as you always do, Patrick.
Thank you. Also, now, if you were missing the pay-per-view, you might have been watching the NBA Eastern Conference semifinals. In 97, it was Game 7 between the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. A backstory. In Game 5 of the series, they're having a fight between P.J. Brown of the Heat and Charlie Ward of the Knicks. Now, P.J. Brown of the Heat was suspended for the rest of the series for starting the fight. However, during the fight, Larry Johnson and John Starks of the Knicks had come off the bench, so they were also suspended for Game 7. Given the fact that you haven't heard of P.J. Brown and you probably remembered Larry Johnson and John Starks, how do you think that went?
Yeah.
Miami wins 101-90, getting 38 points from Tim Hardaway. Patrick Ewing, 37-4 of the New York Knicks. But yeah, the second person in the fight always gets caught. That's the thing you got to remember.
There's a lot of truth to that.
You could have been watching ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. The Cardinals taking on the Braves. The Braves won that one 5-1. Tom Glavine pitches the complete game for Atlanta and also comes through with an RBI single in the seventh. Jeff Blauser also had a big two-run double for Atlanta as well. Ron Gant hit the solo home run for the Cardinals.
How about that? Ron Gant, former Brave. I was a Braves fan during that era. I think most of us were watching TBS and seeing them on a daily basis. I liked Atlanta at that point in time. Hey, did you hear, you're an Angels fan. Did you hear they fired Joe Maddon today?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Oh,
yeah. Geez, they're firing people early.
I think they might have been a little bit hasty, but Maddon will be back next year with somebody if he wants to. He's a little strange. He's a little off the beaten path a little bit, but he's had success. I don't think that he's not the problem, but most of the time, no. I mean, like Girardi
can't fight. Yeah, Girardi kind of threw me, but you know.
Yeah, but I think sometimes when you have like some of these players to me are more spoiled and entitled than ever. And Girardi strikes me as a very old school, no-nonsense manager, which Maddon always, I saw a lot of Maddon when he was in Tampa, but when he played in Boston, he does a lot of weird stuff, but he gets a lot of good results. But
I'd love to say I was surprised, but I'm not. And, when you're managing the Angels and Otani's not performing and Mike Trout's having a bad year, they're not going to fire those guys.
Yeah, and that's amazing because Mike Trout has just finally proven himself to be a human being after what?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the Angels, decided, okay, we're just going to pay whatever it takes so this guy never leaves town. And I respect that, but Angels are going to be the Angels for a while.
Yes.
I've already seen them when, they won one World Series in my lifetime, and that actually happened while my mom was still alive to appreciate it. So, that's one more than I expected.
She was from Anaheim, right?
Was.
And your grandparents lived there too.
My grandparents, my grandmother, people who went to my first wedding remember her. She passed away 2 years ago at the age of 95.
She had a nice long life.
She had a hell of a life, I'll tell you that. All right, so we're gonna come back after the commercial break here. All right, Shane, it's commercial time, and this is where we start telling people about our Patreon over at patreon.com/waybackplayback. I've got the list of episodes here, and I thought it would be helpful to tell the people, which of the episodes that were behind the paywall, you can only get by subscribing to the Patreon, or I guess subscribing to PW Torch and looking for them there. If you're ready, Shane, and I know you don't have the list in front of you, let's start with this. No, you don't. Madison Square Garden show from April 6, 1981. Bob Backlund and Stan Hansen in the steel cage.
Wow, that's a classic.
That is a good one. WrestleMania 6. We got to do the Hogan and the Warrior. Yeah, that's there on the Patreon. Definitely one of the all time great patrons that I did with Jim Valley. Great American Bash 91. That's
a great show for. Well, not a great show, but a great, I can see where you had a good time with that.
Well, how about the Wrestling Classic? That's one. That's one you can get on our Patreon.
My favorite match from that was another Terry Funk match.
Yes.
Him against Moondog Spot.
Well, there was a lot going on in that show, including the backstage antics of Lord Alfred Hayes.
It was great.
Oh, yes. He always great. How about SummerSlam 98, the Highway to Hell with Austin and Undertaker?
one of the probably the highest, probably the most highly bought SummerSlam of all time.
Yeah. All that you get on the Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Plus, you get all of our current episodes ad-free and in advance of when you get them on the podcast feed. And I know you'll like that. And the bonus episodes. Like, for example, Shane and I have a bonus episode, which is going up shortly. It is WWF Best of Championship Wrestling on TBS, December 15th, 1984. Yes, this is when they bought the TBS time slot. And so they're on there, and then the whole hour is plugging the Christmas night show at the Omni in 1984 of Hogan and Orndorff.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
You know, you get the bonus episodes if you're part of the Black Scorpion tier, and along with all the other stuff. And you get access to our archives, all 402 shows now, as part of our Time Traveler tier for just $4.89 a month. Plus, I mean, even if you're just listening for free, there's like 4 years worth of shows. There's literally over 200 shows on the free podcast feed. And a lot of those have Shane on them. And I know you like that.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you like me on the more you play me, the more you pay me. So.
Yep. I'm only sorry, Shane, that you missed doing the Brutus Beefcake Coliseum video episode with us.
I actually have that tape.
I
Ridiculous
see.
As that sounds. Yeah. I bought it at a clearance of a video store.
That's why we pay Shane the big bucks and all sorts of, yeah. Yep. So it's all there. It's hundreds of episodes. It's Wayback Playback on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Wayback Playback, what the world is watch alonging. And we're back. So Shane, we got through the first three matches last week's episode, and check out last week's episode if you haven't. And we are at 57 minutes and 10 seconds, and I have a black screen. That's right, because there's a commercial thrown in here. So you want to make sure. So you're not getting a commercial, are you? You've got a black screen?
Well, I got a couple seconds ahead.
And, okay. We're going to give it the old college try, folks.
We're going to give it a run here.
Three, two. Okay, we're gonna do it together. Hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, here we are, and we're back. And there's the spotlights, and we're getting ready. The battle between Glacier and Mortis after all these months.
Yes, finally the big build up for the Mortal Kombat Championship here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They ran away from, they were about running away from this, I think.
Well, I mean, there was more to add to it. Of course, we had to add Wrath, and we had to add,
Ernest the Cat Miller.
Ernest the Cat, that's where he got his break.
Yeah.
this is Mortis.
Yeah, it's Mortis with the Sinister Minister, James Mitchell or James Vandenberg, depending on
who darker than Mortis.
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't know
who better than Mortis.
This was it was a hell of a gimmick.
It was one of those things that on paper looks great.
Yeah.
You know, these costumes are neat. They're well thought out. They're
It's meant to be like a video game feud.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it was. It was the original. This was like the original video game wrestling.
Yeah.
And in a manner of speaking, it was like this was literally made for that.
Yeah.
You know, and the company had gotten so hot.
They've got 8-bit music going behind it too.
Uh huh. And here's a guy who I saw at the Hamburg Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. On an ECW show, and said, "This guy is—he's so unique in his movements, and he's got good size. Why is nobody using this guy?" Mm-hmm. And he found his spot here, and this was his big break. And yep. You can say what you will—the story of Chris Kanyon is
tragic. Truly
tragic.
Yeah,
truly a tragic story, mm-hmm. and more than anything, has been something I've been speaking a lot about here. With different friends and different forums, when I get an opportunity, take the mental health of your friends seriously.
Seriously, yeah.
Or hear something disturbing. Mm-hmm. If they were talking about harming themselves or other people, please notify someone or get them some help.
Yes. Maybe
more than all this talk of gun laws and controls, maybe if we can get people help, we can try to keep people from these kind of mistakes.
It's not going to hurt anything. No.
Yeah. So that's my public service announcement for this week's Way Back Playback. And Mortis, I mean,
all offense here against Ray Lloyd.
Yeah.
AKA Glacier. Yep.
Yeah. Look at all the snow falling too. Remember? Cause
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You forget this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, for kind of at a glance though, Glacier here kind of looks like a hybrid of Cody Rhodes and Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
And Mortis just putting it on him. Your referee, Mickey J,
mm-hmm.
also later known as Mickey Henson, when he went to the WWE and it sounded too much like Mickey James.
Right. So that happens, man. Especially in WWE. Of course, you know, AEW doesn't care. You can have multiple guys named Adam. You can have, you know. If names sound too close to other names, that's your problem.
Because that's real life. And here he comes, ladies.
Wrath.
Yeah. Chronic. Adam Bomb. The nice
Adam Bomb. Yes. Oh, here we go. Oh. Electric chair.
Here's another guy who was, if you've ever stood next to Brian Clark, he is a huge monster.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who had every bit of the look and the physique and everything that you would think of in terms of a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So this match is really an act.
Yes, it is. But that's okay. It's the fourth match on a 9-match show, and you know you can. You know what? Not everything has to be.
Yeah, everything doesn't have to be 16 to 25 minutes.
Right.
And this is just but this is honestly.
This isn't double or nothing.
Oh, it's better. It would have been better off on TV than why bring it to pay per view? This, just as an aside here.
You want to remind people? They can remind people to watch Nitro tomorrow night.
Yeah. Well, the main event next Saturday, which is where these guys mainly spent. Catch us at 6:05.
Well, I mean, WCW had every, you know, we're getting to the point where WCW has everybody and they got a, you know, it's tough to find room for everybody. And they didn't always find room for everybody.
No, they didn't. I mean, they had a lot of talent. That's why I remember that during that era, I would just, I mean, 6:05 was like the forgotten show. Yeah. But I would record 6:05 because they had so many guys on like the traditional, Saturday night show. They had so much talent that they weren't doing anything with. It's almost like they started to use them on their own angles and doing their own stuff, because it was like it was the Saturday night crew where you started to see guys like, you know, Squire Dave Taylor and Bobby Eaton.
they're getting across, and you know, I can't wait to see that stuff when it arrives on Peacock in 2048 when they get around to it. You know?
when they somehow think that people will. Yeah, there's nothing left to give.
Yeah, crap. Let's get these old Saturday nights up here. Okay.
Yes, we.
Yeah, there's not enough of the Saturday nights from this era on YouTube. I'm sad to say.
Oh, those are like matches that almost nobody is. Ooh, you know, talk about forgotten treasures.
Mm-hmm.
Have to be some stuff in there that nobody's ever even remembered seeing.
Well, we actually. When Jim and I were doing bonus matches, we threw a couple of those on here. Yeah. Oh, look, it's Ernest the Cat Miller. Speak of the devil. Do, 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 do. Somebody call my mama. Who is that? That's right.
That was some impressive shit, though. I'm not going to kid you.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's Ernest the Cat Miller, man.
Yeah. Security's coming out, of course.
Security. Security comes out after the guy has jumped the railing and just beaten the crap out of three people. So it's kind of true to life.
Good Lord. Look at the beard on the head of security, Doug Dillinger.
Oh, yeah. It's quite impressive. It's not his winter beard either, because we're in May.
Is that him or Kenny Rogers? I mean,
All right. But of course, you know it's an angle because they're not putting Ernest Miller in handcuffs and hauling him off. So
yeah, and they had months earlier. It was a dangerous precedent where they constantly like to use that people who are coming in and out of the crowd or coming in, and it, you know.
Yeah, that's not good.
And you know, like that crazy son of a gun who climbed the cage in that Hogan Savage. Was it Hogan and Cage match? I think it was.
There was one of those. Piper. There was also one who climbed the cage during a Savage DiBiase cage match, if I remember correctly. Oh, look at that. There we go. Mm. Okay, so. Ooh, there we go. Everything looks sharp that Ernest Miller
has here. Shades of Carl Douglas, baby. Everybody's kung fu fighting.
Dun, 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 dun,
big bump dun. Over the top by Canyon. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Oh, that wasn't Canyon. That was Wrath. Or as long as they Wrath. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's impressive that he got up there to get him there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I took karate when I was a young man. I never could have jumped that high.
Let's get it on.
All right. Gene Okerlund would like to talk to Ernest the Cat Miller.
Maybe we'll do that on the hotline later.
Oh, yes. Exclusive hotline coverage.
Phone number no longer active. Calls cost $1.59 per minute. I wonder what that would be now.
Oh, good grief. A key member of World Championship Wrestling. Maybe ready to hit, maybe hitting the road. Oh, my goodness. Not a key member of World Championship Wrestling. No.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
25 years ago, you think they were thinking that people like us would be sitting on our telephones?
Making fun of them?
Making fun of them or talking about this stuff?
No, they didn't. They didn't. I was like one of the few, maybe you were too, one of the few people who were thinking about, you know, what would a 24-hour wrestling network look like? And unfortunately, we found out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember thinking about that when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But except for, in my sense, it was a lot of coverage, a lot like the NFL today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Imagine if they did it like the NFL network. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I always thought that the best television, no, I don't know how practical it was for, but this was 35 years ago or so.
Right.
I remember thinking, what if they had a TV show that just highlighted the 10 best matches from around the arenas over the past week?
No.
I mean, you can't watch every, you can't have, you know, like, but, right. You know, but back then the concept.
They had that and it was called primetime, except those weren't the test with 10 best matches. But.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right.
U.S. title match here, Shane.
The former Miss Deborah McMichael on her way to the ring with the newly crowned executive vice president of live events for the WWE on his way to the ring in the Truth is Stranger Than Fiction hires.
Yep. All right. And here's your U.S. champion.
I just to show you that nothing ever... You can hold Vince McMahon up for money. He won't hold it against you. Yeah.
No, it's a business. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jeff Jarrett, I think, is probably eminently qualified.
Sure.
And especially having been to see many Impact events. Well, not many, but probably about a half a dozen under his auspices. They were very fan-friendly events. And I think
they were well put together. And I mean, I'm told one of the reasons that, you know, Jeff Jarrett, because, he had, you know, he's one of the few people who's actually had experience booking wrestling shows. Yeah. They don't keep many of those in house, you know.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. On his way to the ring, the Iceman, you know, the man of 1,000 holds, one of the truly talented, unheralded workers of, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was not
pretty,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty heralded when he, you know. In his heyday,
I mean, underrated, not much of a promo, but it wasn't his deal. I mean, some guys just were, and that was one of the entertaining aspects of WCW during this time, is they had a lot of different stuff for a lot of different people.
Yes.
And it mixed well for a while.
It did.
For a while, it mixed well to have these guys underneath having the, you know, having a fair amount of star power and having some great matches underneath the guys with the great star power who weren't having such great matches, but had all the heat. They had all the heat. I mean, you can't deny that. And, you know, this is probably, this is Hogan's last big year as the major money draw in the business.
97. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's in with the help of Hall and Nash, Hogan's pulling the train, but we're a little ahead of ourselves. We'll see him later. He's not on this show.
He's not on the show. Hall and Nash are.
Yeah, Hall and Nash are.
But I mean, this is the show where they're doing the angles, and this is the C show, the C level pay per view. They're doing the angles to set up the B level pay per view, which is the Great American Bash next month, where they do the angles to set up the Bash at the Beach, which is the show.
Yeah, so everything.
And you know what? If you're doing 12 pay per views a year, that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
That's a good formula, and you can't always have your number one guy on it all the time either, because. You can burn them out. Plus,
they had enough depth that they could do this. That's the other thing.
But the thing about guys like, and this is not disrespect, because I think Jeff Jarrett's tremendous, and I think Dean Malenko is tremendous, but these are guys who you can have almost on every card.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's easier to have the strong middle to upper card guys who can be mixed into the main events. You can have them around a lot more than you can have the big star main eventers. You can't have Hogan there every month. You can't, at this point, you shouldn't have had Flair there every month. You got to make guys special. And you're right. When you do these, the B shows, you're going to, they're going to be headlined by a little bit different type of stuff. I never liked this outfit on Jarrett.
No, it was one of his favorites, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he stopped him mid-throat. That's good. See, that's
good. I understand it. You got gear that fits. You're not gonna.
Yeah.
You're not gonna want to get rid of it.
Malenko, of course, the son of one of wrestling's all-time top heels, Professor Boris Malenko.
Indeed.
Of course, he and his brother Joe, also a formidable tag team in the All Japan rings in the early 90s. Now he's going to... Oh, my. We're getting a little standoff here.
Always mildly surprised that Joe never got into... Yes. Because they were bringing in everybody else.
Yeah. Surprised he didn't get a little bit of a run, even if it was like an Eric Angle type of run, it's a brief cup of coffee, but maybe he just didn't want to. I think he was probably, if the Malenko School of Professional Wrestling was still open, my guess is Joe was running it.
Probably.
At that point, Boris had passed away in 1994. Also, by his real name, Larry Simon.
You go back and watch Dean, you just remember how smooth he was,
It almost looks effortless. Mm-hmm. I remember watching a great match between when he was in ECW between him and Too Cold Scorpio at the Hamburg House for a TV title. It was just, it's hard to describe. Guys like this make it look so easy. It's easy, and they work their ass off to be that good. It just looks like they're not.
I didn't work a lot of matches, but I worked enough to know that it's not easy.
Yeah. And I did work a pretty fair amount of matches and nothing compared obviously to these guys. So, I don't ever like to try to compare myself to the guys at this level, because I was not a guy at this level.
Right.
But I think I was a decent independent guy, but I had to really put effort into everything. It took a long time for me to look as good as I ended up looking.
Right.
And guys like Malenko just seem like, even when they were young, if you ever catch it, it's like,
he was born into it.
Yes.
You were like Eddie Guerrero, kind of like Eddie Guerrero was born into it. Randy Orton's born into it,
Yes. And you watch those guys. And it can be a crapshoot. Because there's been guys who were born into it who were not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know, Dave Flair shoots to mind on that one. Not to knock anybody, but I mean, he was not exactly a natural.
Kelly Kaniski.
I never minded. I mean, I didn't. Yeah, well, Kelly and Nick. I didn't think they were necessarily bad, but I mean, those are big shoes to fill. I mean, that's, you know,
it's kind of hard. Yeah. Well, I mean, David Sammartino. You know, you could.
Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. A lot of people knock Little Bruno. You know,
it's not that I minded him, but the level is not. Yeah,
you didn't. Yeah, I get that,
again, that's another one where you have impossible shoes to fill.
Oh yeah, there's no way that's happening. You know, there's, you know, it's been 40 years. I don't think that a lot of people who weren't around, and I was just around at the tail end of it, really appreciate what Bruno was.
Right.
I mean, Bruno was just, I mean, especially in this part of the country, Bruno was everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll probably have to do some Bruno matches.
Yeah, we got to do some. There has to be something that we can do upcoming. That's, you know, it'd be great if we get, I mean, obviously we try to go month by month, and oftentimes we end up in these situations where we're doing the card that's relatively current to that time of year and so forth. Yeah. Like this one's May, and, you know,
plus, you know, there's a, I mean, even we're coming up on the 8th anniversary of this show, even so, you know, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of good stuff that we just haven't done.
Yeah.
And a lot of historically significant stuff we haven't done, although we've done our best, you know.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, you don't necessarily know, I mean, everybody, nice drop kick from Jared. You never really truly know what's going to be. They always tell you, oh, this was a historic night, and this was a.
It's the greatest night in the history of our sport, Shane.
The greatest night in the history of our sport. You hear that shit a lot, but only hindsight can tell you how true that really was.
Right.
You know, like the King of the Ring 96, well, that's pretty significant stuff.
Yes, that was,
You know,
the show wasn't significant, but I mean, once that Austin promo, you know, people, I mean, you heard that the first time, like, okay.
Yeah, it had that moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that every major show should have that moment. These shows quit being so important when they quit having those moments, when it just, you know.
But you can't always book those moments. You know, some of them are,
Yeah, like when they're talking about coming up this Sunday at the pay-per-view and this and that and the other thing, to me, something's lost when you're just using even that type of generic terminology. You're losing something, because the whole idea of the big card on pay-per-view is a card that you couldn't get into. It was something you were going to have to see whether you could get into that arena or not. Mm-hmm. But then once it became just a monthly part of the landscape, people lose their need and that excitement. And you're right. Everything's not, you know, a legendary night or moment.
I think, you know, what AEW has done, going like 5 pay-per-views a year, that's at least helped them stand out a bit more.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think it's better, because, I mean, once it's stuff that you can miss, you start missing more of it.
Right. And I think that's been apparent the past several years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think even WWE's cut back, and that's good.
Oh no, yeah.
You know, major.
But I mean, you know, the major shows, the WrestleMania is going to be a big deal. You know, a huge deal. It's even though there's enough room for everybody. Let's see. You know, SummerSlam is probably going to be a big deal this year.
Yeah, see, and I was thinking they were building towards Roman and Cody, and that ain't gonna happen.
Nope, it's not. They're building to Clash at the Castle, because they pretty much know they're gonna do Reigns and McIntyre.
Yeah, but you see, you can do that, but I mean, that match didn't draw the money. That's the thing to me.
Right.
Is like you're gonna have this.
Well, the era of the match is drawing the money. That's gone. I mean,
I know. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but it's like they're spending their their time on that when they already know they've already sold it out. Or pretty, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? What are you going to do with the? What are you going to do there? I mean, that's kind of self-defeating because unless you're going with McIntyre, what's the?
Well, then I mean,
old wrestling booking. That's
I know. Well, you can have them win the title and hold it for a month, from what I understand, is not what they want to do anyway. But
you know, so you got to have SummerSlam. You got to have a significant opponent there.
Right.
You know, there's only so many guys that you know. That's why it seemed to me like Roman and Cody would be the good issue. If you
it could have been, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't go back to Lesnar again.
Well,
you would think
that they can. Oh, here we go, small pack. Oh, sorry, I'm probably a little ahead of you.
All right, maybe I'm behind.
Couple near falls.
Yeah.
Okay, and Jarrett misses the Enziguri, and Dean is going to nope can't lock it on him. Can't get the clover leaf on him. Up.
Oh, I must be way behind you.
Did you get a commercial or something?
No. Now he's going for the. He just went for the clover leaf. Now he rolled him up.
Okay, you're behind. All right. Anyway, we'll get straightened out after this match, I think.
Yeah, we're still in there.
Yep. All right. Into the railing. Let's see.
Thing about this thing is you try to fast forward or you try
I wouldn't even bother. I mean this is some really good stuff though, and you know,
it's been a good match and we've talked only but very little about it. Hold on one second here.
Okay, Jarrett's going up, crossbody, Malenko rolls through, no, another very near fall there. You know, it's 1997 because there's a guy in the front row with a Dennis Rodman jersey.
It's probably 20 minutes, half hour.
Okay, up, sleeper. Jarrett's going for the sleeper.
Thank you.
Middle of the ring. And he's got a Malenko. Gets him back into the turnbuckle. There we go. All right. All right. Up, got and Malenko goes for the sleeper. And Jarrett, okay. Jarrett, shinbreaker, going for the figure four. Here we go. Dean's begging off, and yep. Fans are into this.
Yeah, it's a good match. I mean, these guys have been featured well, prominently.
Right.
Good luck ever. I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, as great as Malenko is, good luck finding the bad Jeff Jarrett match. I mean,
I'm not trying to. But if you are looking for them, I recommend some of the early TNA shows. I mean, and they're not like stinkers.
They're overbooked.
Yep. Okay. There we go. They hit heads, and Jeff rolls out to the floor. And Dean is in the ring. Oh, here's Deborah checking on. Oh, and here comes Steve McMichael walking down the aisle.
Mongo. Poor Mongo. He's really
Mongo would be getting ready for his big match, which was going to be happening next week on next week's episode. Happy Father's Day, it'll be. And Steve trying to bring Deborah back, trying to bring Deborah away from ringside with him. Oh, no, Smongo's going to help Jeff. Oh, that's nice.
That's very thoughtful.
And he's going to help him back into the ring. What a guy.
Mongo was a great pro wrestling personality who wasn't a great pro wrestler.
Right.
Because he had all the legitimate athletic credentials and, you know, God love Mongo, all the suffering and so forth that he's going through now in his life.
All right, reversal, and... Tiger Driver and Cloverleaf.
Yeah, you're about a minute ahead of me here.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. right. And Mongo is walking the queen back up the aisle.
Okay. She seriously had a big league look. She was, wow. Oh, yeah. Double under hook into the gimmick.
Right. And Dean Malenko looks at the camera and he's got that expression like he just, you know, finished on the treadmill for 20 minutes and he's like, eh, another day at the office.
Yep, and gone goes Mongo and Deborah. On into the night. Malenko retains the United States title.
Yes. All right. Man of a thousand holds, and that was just one of them.
Yep. Damn fine match.
Oh, yes.
Damn fine.
Absolutely great.
So are we heading into the main event of this hour?
Yeah, the main event of this hour, which, again, the what would be called a Texas death match if this wasn't WCW. Okay, and we got we're at whatever the break is here, and we come back, and the sound of the Ming entrance. It's a death match.
It's not the Tongan death match?
Nope. Just a death match. When match is over, when one man can no longer continue. Okay. All right. Ming of the Dungeon of Doom with Jimmy Hart. And Ming says, Jimmy Hart, I don't need you here, buddy. Take a walk.
Commercial here with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, okay. Well, I can pause here. We'll let you get caught up. I'm okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 126:33. Ming is Ming on his way to the ring. Let's see. I'm pausing it right there. Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Ming versus Chris Benoit, and all that implies. What else? Okay. So, anything good on Peacock?
Nothing I can see. Jeff Goldblum commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that we can probably do without that.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, get yourself. Okay. Get to 126:33, and we will start this together. Yep. Yep. Been a solid. I mean, we're more than halfway into the pay per view. Been solid so far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me know when you get. Yeah. Let me know when Ming sends Jimmy Hart home, and we'll.
Okay, I'm about ready to. He's there. He's turning and told Jimmy, he said, get out of here.
Yep. Okay.
At 126.
Okay. And stand by, kid. Okay. 33. There we go.
And we're running.
We're running. All right. Okay. Match goes until one man can no longer continue. All right. Okay, so Bobby Heenan says that Ming has never lost a death match, and you'd think Bobby would know. I mean,
yeah.
And Chris Benoit with woman. Wow.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just assume not even watch this.
I know.
I mean,
yeah, just
some things long memories, and
it just doesn't feel right. I know. Okay.
Especially with her standing right here with him. I mean, maybe I'm making more of it than I ought to. But I mean, we're coming up here on the 15-year anniversary here, probably for days.
That's one that I don't plan to celebrate.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we're right up on it. I mean, today's the 7th. We're recording this on the 7th. I mean,
I don't know. This is going to air. Yeah. We're getting there.
Okay. This is one of those things where, like, the guys who you admire professionally,
Yeah. I know, and
that
happens so often in wrestling, though.
I generally don't watch his matches. Yeah, or
I know
anymore,
got,
and
I understand. I've got, you know, I mean, his. I enjoyed his the DVD documentary they made of him the first time I watched it, and that just sort of sat in the you know, it just sort of sat there for 15 years and looked at it.
Yeah, I had it, and I don't know whatever happened to it. I'm assuming my son probably borrowed it and never brought it back. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, clearly he's not as bulky here as he would be during his WWE era. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're probably going to talk about something else, but I remember this being a long and grueling match for both these guys.
I seem to recollect something happening there.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone kind of thought that, you know, there were certain finishes that seemed like they were detrimental, done to be detrimental to Benoit, and
right.
And that's just people's nature when they think they understand the inside of the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and they look at, you know, the Sullivan was involved in the booking and saw his ex-wife Nancy, and then they booked this, you know, Sullivan basically booked his own divorce, and you know,
true.
Which, I mean, I can't hardly believe he doesn't regret, you would
at how this point, out. Yeah, you would think so. Well, you know, I mean, the old line, you know, you're not paranoid if somebody's out to get you, so.
Yeah. No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And, okay, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just watching them come into the ring, and you know, one of them looked nervous, and it wasn't Nancy Benoit. No.
Yeah.
This is a big match, and they're, you know, Benoit was to say he was a perfectionist kind of underestimates it. He took his, you know, he took his matches very seriously. He just hated missing a spot. He grew, you know, one of those guys who started out in the, you know, was a young boy in Japan, and he sort of came up that way.
As did Tonga.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Tonga was, you know, a young boy in Japan, and Zitsu, and, you know, with the Funks, Harley Race. There's a story that, did you ever hear the story of, like, the lawman Don Slatton?
No, I didn't, but go ahead. This is probably good a time as any.
Don Slatton was like he promoted one of the towns for the Amarillo Circuit for the Funks, and he always billed himself as the I guess it was the world's brass knucks champion or something.
I want
to say, for the purpose of the conversation, he was the big star and the head promoter in Abilene, Texas.
All right. Part
of the Funk Circuit. And during the late 70s, he was the king of the chain match. The touch four corners and so forth like that. Well, one how or another, he managed to book himself against Harley Race, the NWA World Champion, in one of these chain matches in his town. And the referee for that match was Ming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Ming, when he first started, was a referee, but apparently something happened where the chain was, I don't know, they shorted the chain or something, and quote unquote Slatton quote unquote accidentally touched the corner and grabbed the NWA belt and took off to the locker room, where the people thought, like, oh my God, he just won the world heavyweight title. But Harley Race went and chased him yeah. down in the locker room and drug his ass back.
I heard something. Okay, this story sounds familiar. I don't remember the name Don Slatton being it, but yeah, that sounds like a Harley story.
Yeah, he went to the locker room, drug him back out there, and he was ready to kill him. Uh-huh. But I think Harley ended up taking Slatton's world brass knucks championship or chain match championship belt with him after the double cross attempt, and he's like, "You won't be needing this anymore." But Ming was, I remember reading the story, Ming was the referee for that.
Oh, Jacqueline's here.
Yes, I see Jacqueline. Hmm. That's,
Okay.
She was, Jacqueline is.
She's something else.
She's not heralded enough for her physical attractiveness.
No. Nope.
She's a lovely woman.
Mm-hmm.
These two are in quite the dukaroo.
Yes, they are.
I always thought that, in his many incarnations, whether he be King Tonga or Ming or Haku or King Haku, right. No matter, when he was like in the tag team with the Tama or Tonga Kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that here was a guy who almost not unanimously, but always in the conversations of the toughest guys in the history of wrestling.
He's always in that conversation.
Yeah. But a good middle of the card, upper card, but not a top guy. Right. I don't think he ever quite broke through being like at the top. I mean, I know he had a lot of matches with Hogan.
Yeah.
And it obviously,
Hogan had a certain, incredible. I mean, I think guys had a certain comfort level working with him. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I think he was an incredible professional. I don't think, again, another guy who you never saw a bad match out of.
Right. And, probably, I don't know, it might be his high point in the business, him and Andre teaming and becoming the tag champions.
I would almost have to say that would be his high point in the business.
Yeah. He was doing the work for that team, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was, because Andre didn't have anything left.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the time that they figured out that Andre was really shot. They found a way to get 6 more months out of him. So kudos to Haku or Ming. I think he's one of the guys who's better known by his second name than he is by his first one.
I think more people remember
him as Ming than he do Haku.
I don't know about that. And, I think at this point, people maybe because of The Rock just call him Uncle Tonga.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That must be nice. You have a family member think so much of you, he wouldn't, personally delivered an $80,000 truck to you.
Yeah.
Last I heard, he was working at a Toyota dealership in Tampa or something like that. Good for him. That's honest work.
There's nothing.
Look out.
Yeah, he's not digging ditches, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's work, yeah.
Okay. Then you had to put a count on here on.
They didn't actually mention. They just said until one man's unable to continue, but I guess it's a 10 count.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You gotta set a bar somewhere when you do those type of. He can't continue. It means he has to quit. Does he have to? He's gotta be down for a certain amount of time.
In the video game, you just get him down to get his levels down to nothing, and that's it. But, that doesn't quite work. Just
pass out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get his levels down to nothing.
Oh, here we go. Crossface. LaBelle lock, whatever. Well, yeah.
Cinching up. This has been a very physical battle.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good when you get into these death
matches. Change of pace, from the. Yeah. I mean, and that was, and that when WCW was at its best, that was something they were able to do well. Okay, we got, you know, okay, hit them with the cruiserweights, hit them with, yeah, hit them with the gimmicks, hit them with the technical, the technical, the mechanics, hit them with the tough guys. Yeah. You had enough that you could give, you know, you could get everybody, you know, something to everybody's taste on there and keep mixing it up.
I agree. I agree. I was always more WC. I mean, I was always a wrestling fan, period.
Right.
But I mean, I started off my initial, what do you call it, the entreaty to the wrestling business was WWF.
Yeah.
But I quickly became a fan of the NWA, which morphed into WCW because it had most of the time had a much more physical style.
Right.
And I thought that the storytelling was more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was grittier.
Yeah.
You know, by this time though, they're starting to turn. Well, even though they're getting a lot of different international talent, I mean, mm-hmm. their top guys are former WWF guys.
Yes.
So now it's changed in its presentation, which you could make the argument that needed to become for that period of time,
right.
the number one promotion in the world.
I think the problem came when, you know, I mean, when you get going for a couple, you get your couple years hot period, and then fans start seeing there's no upward mobility. These guys are locked in at a certain level. Nobody can break through unless they were in that level of WWF until Goldberg did it.
And
once Goldberg, and they didn't know what to do with Goldberg once he got really hot.
Well, they didn't have anyone set up for him. And that's the thing. It was an accident.
Yeah.
And sometimes accidents are good, and other times they're not so good. Because if a guy gets over organically, it's going to really take a hold when the promotion finally gets behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have anyone set up for him.
Right.
So he gets hot, and he works with Hogan on TV and puts Hogan puts him over allegedly in front of 75,000 people or whatever at the Omni in front of all the Turner executives. But 2 weeks later on the pay-per-view, Hogan's in the main event wrestling with the NBA guys, Carl Malone and stuff. And there is Goldberg defending his belt against Curt Hennig, who, as much as a fan of I am a Curt Hennig, he had seen his better day. And it wasn't like he was a top challenger. He was just a guy being fed, you know, to the new champ.
Right.
So that didn't do him any favors.
Yeah. And then after starting him where he's not at that top level, they start to put him against the other big guys, but they have him mow through the other, you know, main guys too quickly. So it just,
you got to be able to dress stuff out a little bit. I mean, you know, of course, you know, you could WCW, you could sit all day long, inmates running the asylum.
Oh, gosh,
just, you know, some of the decision making guys who got to make decisions, who should have been making decisions, making huge money. But if they would have had the smarts to understand, if they were as smart politically as people give them credit for, these promotions wouldn't be out of business.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to know that the best thing to do is to get beat. And sometimes you have to know that the best thing to do is to make somebody else look strong, because that's just going to lengthen your run.
Yeah.
I don't think that Hall. No, I don't know that Hall and Nash, especially Nash, really understood that as well as he's done in his life. And clearly he's made a lot more money than I ever will.
Yeah.
In wrestling. But that promotion went out of business in large part due to his decision-making or selfishness. He's like, well, you know, I just angled everybody better. Well, if you would have been smarter about it, you would have handled it a different way, and you would have got more years worth of big money pay.
Yep.
You know, anybody who wants to bankrupt or does things that bankrupt the company that they're working for isn't somebody who's, you know,
all that bright. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's praiseworthy. Oh, he manipulated them.
Oh, there we go. Goes for the diving headbutt. And look,
right into the grip.
Yep.
Yeah. I think this is
Hold on. I think this might be a tongue and death grip. Oh no, what is she doing? What's she doing on the apron? Nope, then stops it. Oh, you got it, man. Okay. Well. All right. Well, there's your winner, Ming. Okay.
Physical match.
Yep. And yeah, this is, you know, I mean, you don't want to say that anybody looks bad from losing to Ming, but, you know, Benoit's supposed to be a horseman, and, you know, this isn't designed to get, this isn't really designed to get the horseman over.
No, it isn't. But nothing was during that era.
Right.
So.
And I don't remember them doing anything special with Ming after it, so.
No. So again, you could make the argument here that this was booked in a way, but I mean, does Benoit gain that much from beating him?
No, probably not.
No, I think this is just, it's a good physical match and an angle that was where it was in the cards, and you could make the argument that it was selfish booking by a guy on the committee, but I think long term it didn't hurt anybody or help.
No, I don't think it registered, you know, to the point. And that was, I mean, a lot of, you know, that's a lot of the mid card stuff. It didn't really, unless it's really good, it wasn't all that memorable, or really bad.
Yeah, it was just kind of stuff that filled in the color in the spots.
It's the month of June. Let's take a look at what's coming next month here, Shane Shadows, to WCW.
Let's see what's going on here. What's up?
WCW, they got the steak on the grill and the burgers.
Oh man, I went to a commercial, man.
This is a commercial for the Great American Bash, I think.
Yeah, I'm getting a commercial for like Allstate or something. So, a booking.
DDP and Kimberly. That's
funny. We were just having a whole conversation about it.
Booking.
Yeah.
WCW Great American Bash. It's a barbecue commercial.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Summer. Okay, and let's put a. Okay, this was probably where we can call a halt to it for the week. 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 57 seconds. Still to come. And here's what we're going to have next week. Still to come, the Steiners taking on the Dungeon of Doom team of Conan and Hugh Morris. The big NFL battle of Reggie White versus Steve Mongo McMichael. And, of course, the main event of Flair Piper and Kevin Green against the Wolfpack of Nash, Hall, and Waltman.
So I'd like to invoke my clause here to just show up during the main event.
What's that?
Yeah. I'll just show up during the main event of said program.
Yep. There you go. That was it, folks.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
That's what we're going to get now. As we've been trying to do, trying to get a little bit ahead here and make sure that everybody who's listening to the show gets a chance to vote. you know, we're going to have in 2 weeks, we're going to be starting another set of episodes, starting at episode 407. And now is our big chance, Shane. Let's see here. Okay. Do you want to put up? Let's look at what we have here. I mean, oh, yeah. Okay. So I looked at all the events that our listeners have suggested. And the one that seemed most in tune with the season, WCW's Bash at the Beach 1994, and 1994, not my favorite year of WCW, but can't complain about the talent involved. It's Ric Flair defending the WCW title against Hulk Hogan. It is Steve Austin defending the U.S. title against Ricky Steamboat. And that's, you know,
the Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Fans are pretty pretty good stuff. I was leaning more towards one of the 1986 Great American Bash shows that they had featured.
Okay, well, I know the Charlotte show is, I know the Greensboro show is up on YouTube, so we could probably do that, because I don't think either of the shows, those shows are on Peacock.
Okay, I'm pretty sure Charlotte's on there too, but just for the...
Hold on, I can look here, I don't mind. We're going to do that. Okay, but I'm totally down with doing the Charlotte show if it's there.
Hey, that's great. Fine. Either one of those shows would be great. But yeah, Charlotte's outdoors. It's got a real unique air to it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's, yeah, if I can toss in my hat into the ring, that's what I'm putting up for voting this week.
And that one, I believe, is headlined. The Charlotte show, I believe, is headlined with Ric Flair versus Ricky Morton in a steel cage.
Phenomenal.
Yes, and Flair and Dusty, I think, is the headline in Greensboro there.
Yes.
All right, so I'm gonna go look at that. And okay, so we got those. Oh yes. What was I gonna do? When Jim was here, we were trying to run through all these Saturday night's main events in order. And let's see, we stopped before we got to Saturday night's main event number 5, March 1st, 1986 air date, the Duel in the Desert, Shane. I know you know this show well. It is Mr. T in a boxing match with Boxing Bob Orton. And, of course, Hulk Hogan defends the WWF title against the magnificent Don Morocco.
Yes. Yes, a memorable one. A big setup to the next month's WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, the whole Saturday night's main event is a good setup for WrestleMania 2. And now I am here at the... Okay, where is it? Shoot. Nuts. I'm not seeing it. All right, Great American Bash. Well, you think it'd be somewhere here. Yeah, let's see. Great American Bash episodes. Nope, it's... Yeah, the 96... It starts at 88 here.
But on
Peacock, yeah.
That's okay. We'll pick it up.
Well, we can. I mean, it's one of, at least one of those is on YouTube, so we'll make sure to get that up. Yeah, that's definitely a good deal. All right, so now is the point where we roll with the randomizer, and let me get the what we need here. Oh my goodness! And this is the part where I have to edit out. Okay, here we go. Where is my... Oh, we can do this in post-production. All right, we're giving the wheel a big spin, and away we go. It's passing through thousands of shows, all the categories, ECW, Mid-South Wrestling, WCW Pay-Per-View, Sunday Night Heat, SmackDown, Ring of Honor, and we stop at... Oh, well, we stop at... Asylum pay-per-views. And Shane, okay, let's see, the one we have is for is NWTNA pay-per-view number 63 from September 24th 2003. I'm gonna go ahead and make the command decision to save us $8 and pick one of the ones that's already up on YouTube.
Okay, fair enough.
Which would be NWTNA pay-per-view number 50, June 18th 2003. Let's see, it is Christopher Daniels and Elix Skipper defending the tag titles against Chris Harris and James Storm. And the main event, it is Sting and Jeff Jarrett versus AJ Styles and a mystery partner. Yay. Okay.
Who ends up being like Lex Luger, I think, or something, doesn't it?
No, it's Sean Waltman. They wanted Lex Luger though. They wanted Luger, but Luger wanted too much money. I think they ended up getting Luger later for something else, but yeah. There you go.
Well, there you go. That's what you got to pick for him this week, folks.
Yep, that's not bad. I mean, something for everybody. It's 2003, 94, 86, and 86. Okay, no complaints. And they should be on. They should all be up at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter by the time you listening to this. I am at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter. Jim is at Jim Valley. If you want to talk to Jim Valley, we'll get him back at some point. Shane is at one only Shane Shad one. And the people. And how are you doing on Twitter with the people?
I haven't checked in a while, but I haven't noticed a big increase. So
okay.
Clearly, my co-stardom here is. Limited in scope.
Go ahead and sign up for Shane's Twitter, and maybe Shane will get on there and interact with you.
Yeah,
you can catch Shane on Facebook and of course on the Independent Rewind. Shane,
yes, Independent Rewind coming back soon. But next week, same way back time, same playback channel.
I wasn't getting to that yet, but okay.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I was like, I think you might have been feeding me.
Yeah, I was feeding you to plug your stuff, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I will be returning soon with season 4 of Shane Shatters Presents Classic Indies, some of the great independent matches from the Mid-Atlantic area and in some cases from around the world for over the last 40 years. So we've done a lot of good stuff and took a little break from it, but might be getting back to it here very soon.
Yeah, you guys have seasons. I understand that. All right. Also, don't forget, you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whichever application and feed that you download this show from. We are here for you, and we love it. Okay. And if you'd like to know more about Glacier or Mortis or Wrath or Dean Malenko or Jeff Jarrett, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer. Or you can go download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, do join us then. And until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, and next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.